Meeting today at 5 p.m. So please take note of that. Does anyone from the congregation have any announcements?
There's a flower that's on the altar.
Announcements. John? Oh, yes. Any other visitors? Anyone else? To have a name put on the prayer list, you can write it on the index cards and the pew, whatever, you drop it in the offering plate. At this time, in preparation for worship, we ask that you bow your heads for silent prayer. printed in your bulletin. Please join with me. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets.
Perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God knows and will not be silent.
He summons the heavens above and the earth that He may judge His people.
Gather to me our consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me our sacrifice.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God.
Please stand and turn to page 10 in your hymnal, to worship the King.
We come, Lord, because you have called us. Your word invites us to come into your presence. Lord, we are honored and we thank you that you would welcome us into your holy presence. Thank you for this opportunity. Now, Lord, as we come, we pray for you to speak to us, but we also pray that you will enable us to speak to you and about you, and to bring glory and honor to you. Let us see that we're here for your glory, and knowing that when we bring glory to you, O Lord, that we too will be encouraged and lifted up, inspired and motivated and helped. Thank you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us remain standing and express our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we will humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness this morning comes from Acts 13:39. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you.
Please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 195, and we will sing all four verses of Nothing But the Blood.
Oh,
out the song that we're going to be singing that the choir is offering to you. This comes from the African-American tradition, the spiritual, and it is a answer, or is a response, answer response, or call and response, there you go, call and response style song. And it does come out of those traditions of the people who labored and were slaves and had probably no reason to be joyful other than their faith that sustained them. And so this is a song of the faith that sustained people through some terrible trials. And it's called Set Down Servant. And we're probably going to wiggle a little, so please forgive us in advance because it's kind of fun to sing and we have fun doing it. But it is an offering of to the Lord about the things that we can have and the peace that He brings to us.
short sentence this morning comes from James. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Will the ushers please come forward?
asked you to sit down, but I'm going to ask if you would please stand. If you are able, if you don't feel like it, we understand.
Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God for the people of God.
Be to God.
How many of you have experienced a graduation service? How many graduated from high school at least? Or maybe junior high. Okay. I hope to think about the graduation process and what happened there and what happens after the graduation process and use this to encourage believers, especially new believers, to feed on the Word of God so that we will grow to maturity in Christ and to encourage non-believers to study, that they might learn about salvation and come to salvation, or that they might gain through their study salvation information and then move on to receive Christ as Savior, then go on to grow in Christ. Graduation. What a time it was, and if you're not there yet, what a time it will be. Wasn't it a great time when you graduated from your alma mater? Not only is that a Roman word, a Latin word, or Latin words, about the only ones I know. Wow. Some of you are looking forward to it. Next year, next June, May. Today, we waited for 12 years. Now they've extended it to kindergarten, and now they've got pre-kindergarten. And some time ago they had pre-first, and one, I think some of the Davidson County schools had T4, transitional four. Anybody participate in that one? Pre-first? I think they finally wiped that one out. They want the children to be either start to school when they're 3 or 4 and stay there till they're 20 plus, then move on to college. That keeps people in the workplace looking for workers, does it not? Or keeps over 65 people working to fill the workplace. Okay, special day. Studying was a thing of the past. Or so we thought. Papers that we wrote, all that regimentation, stand in line, stand up straight, put your shirt tail in, you forgot to wear a belt, don't cut your hair a certain way. And then all of the harassment from your fellow students or those who were bigger than you, all of that was behind you. You'll miss your old friends. Oh, how we missed them. How we missed them. But soon you will find new ones. You don't know it then, but you will. You're glad to be away from the school bully, and now you do not have to contend with him or her anymore. And you're thinking as you sit there in the auditorium or maybe in the hot sun on the ball field, you're sitting there and you're saying, let's get this program over with. Let me have that piece of paper. I'm ready to be finished with this. Almost free. No more books for me. I'm out of here. And then the speaker rises and he ambles up to the podium, and it may be a politician or somebody from that school who has done well in his life, or it may be one of your teachers, or it may be one of your fellow students. But they amble up to the podium and they shuffle their notes, and he says, graduates, this is not the end. This is only the beginning. We're here for a commencement exercise. And commencement means that we're beginning. And your heart fails. You thought it was over. You thought you were through. You're beginning, he says, the rest of your life. A life of learning and study. And we find a variety of responses. The nicest, which would be, oh no. And some even say, you got to be kidding. And others would say, not me. Well, our experience of becoming a Christian kind of parallels or has many similarities to our graduation experience. There we were, or hopefully you will be if you haven't arrived at that experience yet and had that experience yet. There you were. You have come to Jesus. You have trusted Jesus the Christ as your Christ, as your Savior. And you have begun to, you have committed yourself to serve Him to just a little bit anyway. You know that's kind of a part of it. It's been a long journey, you getting to this experience of trusting Jesus and being saved. You've been to how many Sunday school classes? Your children's, your parents brought you as when you were young children. Even before you could learn, they put you in that church nursery. And then there was Vacation Bible School after Vacation Bible School, and your parents may have shifted you off to three or four each summer, one to the Baptist, one to the Methodist, one to the Presbyterian, one to the Church of Christ, and any other church in the neighborhood that had a Bible school. And then you went to a pastor's class somewhere along the way. You didn't listen, but you went anyway and went through the motions. And there was that preaching that you had to sit through, and you sat there, and you fumbled, and you wrote, and you ate crackers, and you played with keys, and you smiled at the people behind you. And then revivals. Every once in a while the church would have a revival. Some churches would have them every Sunday, every summer. Some would have them every winter, maybe both. And then they shipped you off to church camp where it was hot and no television and no telephone and no newspaper and no radio even. And we had to get up at a certain time and go to bed at a certain time, and we couldn't call Mama. Except they allowed Elizabeth to call Mama at 11 o'clock one night, and Daddy had to go pick her up. The next day I said, "What if we had to come to Gotcha?" She said, "Oh, I'd have been okay." I knew that, but Mama didn't know that. She knew it, but she wanted her baby at home, I think. But anyhow, whatever. And then there were those retreats where they talked about Jesus and how He came to be our Savior and how we could live for Him. And then there were those Bible studies, youth meetings, and finally it all comes together somewhere along the way at 15 or 16 or 28 or 52. It all clicks. And it fits together. The puzzle is not in separated pieces anymore. The puzzle fits. And we have a clear, a somewhat clear picture. Not totally clear, but somewhat clear picture. The Holy Spirit somehow finally gets through our thick-headedness, our shell, and the Holy Spirit enables us to understand what these people have been trying to say to us all of these years. And the Holy Spirit urges us so forcefully, or He pleads with us so pleadingly, or He calls us so gently. Different people respond differently, and the Holy Spirit knows who we are and how we are, and however we need to be prompted, the Holy Spirit prompts us, and we respond. We trust Jesus. He is our Savior. And we're baptized and we're confirmed. And we breathe a sigh of relief and we say, "Phew, it's finally over. Those church people will leave me alone now. I've walked the aisle. I've been baptized. What else would they want me to do?" And then, before we get away from the church, somebody comes up and says, "There's a Bible study Monday afternoon or Monday evening, and there's a Sunday school class just for your age group. And would you like to serve on a committee?" Etc., etc., etc. And you thought that that salvation experience was the end. Let me warn you against such thinking. Jesus spoke of this, I think, of that kind of thinking. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 and following. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 24 and following, Jesus tells us the danger of stopping at
this point in our Christian experience. We know how dangerous it is to graduate from high school. Or we can go back to junior high especially. But if we graduate from high school and just stop studying then, we would miss so much, would we not? I'll never pick up a book again, not even a newspaper.
Well, what would we miss? Okay? We need a little bit more.
A little bit more training to make it in the world. Well, the Christian who stops at the salvation experience and never goes any further is in bad shape. I have a friend in this neighborhood, and he's told me over and over and over about his baptism experience. I hope it was a salvation experience, but he never got past that. According to his own testimony, or what he shared, he tells about going to such and such a church because there was a pretty girl there in his teenage years, and he went there to be with that, near that pretty girl or those pretty girls, and he somehow got to the altar, made his profession of faith, and they baptized him by immersion. And they held him under. He likes to tell this part. He says, they held me under till I kicked the preacher on the shins to get him to let me up. And I've heard that story over and over and over, but he won't darken the door of the church anymore. And I don't believe he's ever moved past that. I think he's still living. I haven't seen him in a while, a month or two. But Jesus told about a man who was possessed of an unclean spirit. He was full of the devil, full of sin. And he got cleansed of this. And that spirit went out and wandered around the countryside. And he couldn't find a resting place. Couldn't find anybody else to dwell in. Spirits need people to dwell in. Even evil spirits are unclean spirits, according to which version you're reading. And so he goes and gathers up some of his friends. I think it says seven of them. And he comes back and he finds this clean life that had been cleansed. And he entered into this life with all his buddies. And then the guy was seven times worse off than he was before he got cleansed. And I believe that that's an example of what happens when we accept salvation through Jesus Christ, or at least step toward it, and never go any further. We're opening ourselves up to being worse off than we were before we came to the Lord. And the writer of Hebrews speaks of this in chapter 6, and I believe it's chapter 10. A grave warning. The person that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 12, same words in Luke 11. He must have thought that he was now okay, that he had been cleansed, that it was time for his to rest in his cleansing experience. That's all he ever needed to do for the kingdom of God. But Jesus here pointed out the danger of this. Just to sit there and do nothing after one has been cleansed of sin through Jesus Christ, through that blood that we sang about already today, cleansed through our faith in Jesus, His shed blood. That's only the beginning. That's not that is one result, the important result, maybe the most important result of all the work that has been done to get a person to the point of making a profession of faith or putting their trust in Jesus as their Savior. But that's just the beginning of the rest of a person's life, a new way of life. And it's so sad when a person will stop there. New Christians, and long-term Christians have a need for spiritual nourishment so that they may grow and so that they may function or be active in the kingdom's work.
just being forgiven of the sin of our life is not the end result that God desires of His people. We are forgiven so that we can be at work for His kingdom, in His kingdom. We're saved, not just to get saved. Oh, that's so important. But we're saved to prepare us for a work that He has us do. Growing in God's Word.
I'm brave this morning. See how small that? That's a whole Bible. And you know the print's got to be little.
Small print. But growing in God's Word, we're urged over and over and over in God's Word to grow in God's Word. And we just look at a few verses. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Ephesians. And as he wrote to them, he had visited with them. He had spent a good deal of time with them, a lengthy time with the Ephesians, kind of their pastor, as well as the evangelist, traveling evangelist that came through. Then he'd come back through the community and teach them a little more how to be in the church of Jesus Christ. But in the letter that he wrote back to them, he tells them that he is praying for them. And he tells them what he's been praying that might happen. And in these two passages, Ephesians 1, 15 and following, and Ephesians 3, 14 and following, he tells them that he is praying, and part of what he prays for them is that they would grow up, that they would mature, that they would be nourished on the Word, and they would grow up. So hear these words from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and following. He says, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, ever since I heard that you got saved, and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And then in verse 17, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that He'll make you wise, that God will make you wise." And that's not the only place we are told that if we want, wisdom comes from God. James said, if you want to be wise, ask God. But Paul is saying, I keep praying for you folks that God will make you wise or give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that He'll be able to reveal things to you and you will understand them. That He'll just reveal stuff to you. So that you may know Him better. I got saved. That's all I want of Jesus. Folks. That's not where it stops. I pray, verse 19, 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. For why? Why does He want the eyes of the heart lightened? In order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance, that you may understand more about heaven, I think, but that you also may know the joy, the blessing of working in His kingdom's work. Then we turn to chapter 3 of that same letter, and we look to verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, "I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you..." To find my place. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And then in verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. And that you'll just keep on being filled up or poured full of the fullness of God. That more and more of God will come to us. Then in the letter to the Corinthians, in the third chapter, verses 1 and 3, Paul says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. In the Corinthians, and Andrea kind of referred to this in her children's message, they're having a few difficulties in the church, especially the Corinthian church. How is it going to be the church? He says, folks, you haven't grown up yet. Kind of chastising them. I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. He's saying you need to be ready by now. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? You need to act like spiritual men, not mere men. And then in the letter that Peter wrote, the one that Peter wrote to the Christians who were dispersed because of the persecution. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Another urging to grow up. It says, like newborn babes, these are new Christians, like newborn babes, crave the spiritual milk. So why do they need spiritual milk? So that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So it's a call and urging to grow up. Don't stop with the salvation experience. Move on. Like, don't stop with the graduation experience. Move on. It begins a life of learning. And then in the Hebrew writer, in chapter 5, in verse 12, 13, and 14, hear these words. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, this is the Hebrew writer writing to the Jewish people, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. See, they didn't get it the first go-round. And that's so typical of the church, the average church person today. I hope you're not average. I hope none of you are average. You need milk, not solid food. Why? Because they haven't grasped the more advanced doctrines of the gospel. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves through the reading of the Word to distinguish good from evil. Just so we'll know the difference in good and evil, we need to be nourished on the Word. New Christians and pre-Christians, if there is such a thing, or such an individual, such a person. Is there such a person as a pre-Christian? I hope so. I hope some are not yet become Christians are just about ready to. I may have coined that phrase. I'm trying to coin a few new phrases for the Christian world. Maybe somebody else uses it. New Christians and pre-Christians need the milk of the Word. We need the basics. Easy to understand. And Paul reminded Timothy how the Word had made him wise to salvation. That's a pre-Christian. And you study the Word, how many testimonies have you heard from the Gideons who tell about or have testimonies of others who have just gone into a hotel room, some ready to kill themselves because of a frustrating experience or frustrating experiences
life was too tough to face anymore, and picked up the Word, because the Gideons had placed it there, and turned to just a passage. Their life is saved and their soul is saved. Because the Word, where Paul says, Timothy, had been taught since he was a child by his mother and his grandmother, but the Word made him wise for salvation. It has been, and it is able to do the same for us. There are other benefits of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, and you have it in following. You have it printed there before you. Continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, from his mother and his grandmother, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the truth. Why do we need to know the Word of God? So we can correctly handle the truth. Are rightly dividing the word of truth, is the King James rendering. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we're told that the Word, God's Word, is written for our learning. Psalm 119, is verse 11, says, it keeps us from sinning. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, the psalmist said, that I might not sin against thee. He is talking to God. Psalm 119, in verse 105, says, the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. The psalmist in 19, verse 7 through 11, says that the Word revives, makes wise, and gives joy. Goes on to say, and the psalmist says in Psalm 1, verse 2, the Word is a delight to the righteous. It may hurt the unrighteous. It may expose where we need to make some adjustments in our life. But for the righteous, it is a delight. Psalm 119 and 9 says, the question is, how shall a young man keep his way clean or clear, clean? It says, by heeding or abiding in the Word of God. And I don't have a scripture passage, but it's throughout the Bible. It encourages us and gives us hope. What about you? Where do you stand? Are you one who is not yet made that response to Jesus, to trust Him as your Lord and Savior? Are you one of those pre-Christians? Let me extend to you an invitation to become Christian today. A believer in Jesus. Get saved. We are saved. Are we studying? Are we growing? Are we working for the King? Psalm is 395. Stand together and sing verse 1 and 4. A public response is always welcome. Private response in all of us is always hopeful.